Today's scripture is about a moment. It's the beginning of Jesus' ministry, so this story not only launches that ministry, but might also be considered a framework for Jesus' gospel message. In his book titled The Bible Speaks to You, Professor Robert McAfee Brown makes a case for healthy discipleship by saying every 3 years, all people should forget whatever they have learned about Jesus and begin the study all over again. Participating in such an exercise, he asserts, would force us to set Jesus free from the distortions and the limitations with which our minds clothe him, and we would be amazed at what is revealed. I wonder what it was about that moment beside the Syrian Sea, what was revealed that brought those disciples to immediately, as scripture tells us, rise up and follow. Was it what Jesus looked like? Did it have to do with something the disciples saw in his stature or his way of walking along the shore? Was it something they heard? Was it in his voice, the authority with which he spoke? What were those circumstances that enabled them to drop all that they were tied to and tying, the mending of the nets, the work on the boats, the dealings with the hired hands? What enabled them to make a decision in a moment, immediately, that would change the course of their lives? My childhood friend shared a story with me recently about her young adult years living on the shores of Cook Inlet near Kenai, Alaska. Summers in Alaska were spectacular, she said. It is the land of the midnight sun. And so the days draw out endlessly into the night. The sun is warm, the air is clear and crisp. She was a cannery worker, a hired hand, something her four older brothers had done in their time, and so she went to follow in their footsteps. For many cannery workers in Alaska, it's during the summer fishing season that they gain their livelihood for the entire year. There is a distinctive feel to life at the cannery, she said. Between deliveries, everyone sits back quietly, literally tying and mending nets, playing cards, sleeping, talking softly, waiting for the next catch to arrive on one of the boats. The old-timers, she said, are the first to detect the distant rumbling of the fishing boats returning to shore. When these fishermen begin to move, there is a moment. Then everyone follows, immediately jump up, spring to life. They don boots and hard hats and make for the dock with great anticipation and enthusiasm. Livelihood is at hand. I liken that scene to the one we learn about this morning about discipleship, about the words, follow me. The time of preparation is over. The kingdom of God is here. What are people to do because of this? We are to repent, to turn around, to begin again. Life is different now if these things are so. In January of 2008, we witnessed a moment in history. Fresh in my mind is that image of the 2 million people on the Mall in Washington when our nation inaugurated our 44th president. One day after the celebration of the 80th birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. And it was a moment when the good in our democracy was on display, the peaceful transfer of power, a crowd of every walk of life gathered for a common hope. And as we left that mountaintop moment of Inauguration Day, Reverend Lowry, in his rousing benediction, reminded us to bring the oneness of that moment on the Mall back to our homes and our workplaces and our churches and our temples and our mosques, wherever the will of God is sought, so that we wouldn't forget that moment. To live in the kingdom that has been realized in the person of Jesus Christ, there are two conditions we hear today. Repent and believe in the gospel. Nothing in life is more important than this. The gospel tells us if your eye is a hindrance to accepting the gift of the kingdom, pluck it out. It is like finding a treasure buried in the field. You must sell everything you have in order to gain that treasure. It is like seeing a pearl of surpassing beauty for which you give up everything you own in order that you may possess it. There must be a focused purpose about life to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God. So what does that mean when our attempts to follow Jesus fail? Are we barred from the kingdom, and is our salvation linked to our obedience? What saves us, what sustains us, what stands as the most important matter of all is that Jesus is obedient. And he died so that we might live, even thrive in the kingdom of God by repenting and believing in him. In this scripture, four men immediately leave the security of their means of livelihood as fishermen, and they become fishers for people, participants in building and furthering the kingdom of God in their time. Their priorities are clear. Their actions profound. They hear the call, they stop what they are doing, and immediately join Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, there are two words for time. There is chronos time and kairos time. And when we hear that in Jesus the time is fulfilled, we are not talking about chronos time, which speaks of calendars and clocks. We are talking about kairos time, and as Fred Craddock puts it, this calls for attention to special time, an opportune time, a time in which the constellation of factors creates an unusually significant moment. There was something about that opportune moment when Jesus spoke to the fishermen. It was as if they realized there was a better way, that in this moment, they drop their old ways to take up a new way that promised better things for others as well as for themselves. I wonder, can we employ the same uninhibited view of discipleship as these fishermen of old? How can we, in our complex arena of human strife, radically distill our priorities to the one, God first? Follow me, he beckons, not later today, not tomorrow, not next week, but now, immediately. Jesus' gospel articulates the characteristics of life following him. It involves caring for the least and the last and the lost. It involves serving the hungry and the thirsty and the sick and the imprisoned and the perfect stranger in our midst, that what we do for the least of these members of God's family, we do for God. Following him involves doing our part in helping to create a living environment conducive to human flourishing, where barriers between us dissolve and we care for one another at a new depth. Following Jesus involves honoring others and giving people space to be who they are, and knowing that every person is precious in God's sight. Following Jesus involves engaging one another beyond class, beyond race, beyond nationality or sexuality, to look for God alive in each individual, to follow that principle and not a principle of fear. Following him involves praying for those we call enemies, those against us, and extending to others in our best attempt that love and mercy God gives to us. The kingdom of God is revealed when we listen, when we lend a hand or reach across barriers like our Lord constantly did. There's a great old adage that Martin Luther King used in some of his speeches. He says, "I sought my soul, but my soul I could not see. I sought my God, but my God eluded me. I sought my neighbor, and I found all three. Getting outside of ourselves and caring for others brings us closer to our spiritual home, and it is the way to build up God's kingdom. Discipleship offers us a way to be with Jesus in all we say and do. Albert Schweitzer wrote words about this moment of discipleship. He says, he comes to us as one unknown without a name, as of old, by the lakeside. He speaks to us the same word, follow me, and sets us to the tasks which he has to fulfill for our time. He commands, and to those who obey him, he will reveal himself in the toils and the conflicts and the sufferings which we shall pass through in this fellowship. And as an ineffable ministry, we shall learn in our own experience who he is. Ultimately, discipleship is about staying in the path of our beliefs, the path where Jesus beckons us to drop what preoccupies us in the moment and rise up and follow him with all that we are. It's about allowing yourself to be reshaped and forever changed by your relationship with God. In his book, Longing for Home, Frederick Buechner writes, I cannot claim that I have found the home I long for every day of my life. But I believe that in my heart I have found and have maybe always known the way that leads to it. The home we long for and belong to is, finally, where Christ is. So the fishermen gave their lives up, one may say, to follow Jesus. What enabled them to make a decision in a moment immediately that would change the course of their lives? That is for us to consider this morning. I'm not sure it is a once-in-a-lifetime decision, but a day-to-day, moment-by-moment surrendering of our wills to God to lead us and to provide us with our livelihood. So give your life away and follow where he trod, not because your life is not of value, but because in Christ it finally is. The Gospel. Alleluia. Amen.